My beloved people, first of all, I present to you the usual little packages of wheat, which are in the back of the chapel there. Please help yourselves to them, one for each of the children, perhaps, and even one for yourselves. And the instructions for the wheat will be found attached to the bulletin, one of the bulletins, I think it was last Sunday's bulletin. So you can read for yourselves, those of you that are not familiar with the way to proceed with this, the instructions will be there. After Mass this morning, there's going to be a little ceremony, which is not really going to pertain directly to the general ones of us. So do not feel that you have to stay behind. If you need to go, you certainly should feel free to go. It will be the oblation of certain members of our group here as oblates for the Benedictine order. So those of you who need to go, feel free to go. It'll take about, the sum total will take about 25 or 30 minutes maybe. So if you need to go, don't hesitate to do so. This is perhaps my only opportunity before Christmas to extend to you and each of your members of your family the blessings and the prayers of the monks and the sisters. And we wish that you will have a very holy, a very blessed, a very wholesome, a very happy, and a very joyful Christmas. And that all things will be according to the will of God. You have here in this Sunday's bulletin a little excerpt here concerning the Feast of St. Nicholas. You can certainly, I encourage you to study that and to apply that wherever you can. I certainly want to take this opportunity to encourage you to study your bulletins. We are trying very much to extend to you a spirituality which hopefully makes sense. As you know, today is the first Sunday of Advent. And in certain areas, in certain places, there are those who are trying to turn Advent into something like a Lenten season. This is an introduction. Advent has never been looked upon as a Lenten season, where you have to do particular acts of penance and mortification, and I give up this, and I give up that, and I give up the other thing. In Lent, we talk about that. But in Advent, we do not. Advent is more of a joyful, somewhat more relaxed season. However, it is a season where that we should take, that we should put into careful practice of what we do. And in today's bulletin, I will read I will read a portion of it in the front page. Because there is this mistaken idea of what Advent is really like. The time of Advent is perfect for this kind of interior spiritual development, a time for the conversio, not so much a time for the rigoristic Lenten penances, as some erroneously think it should be. Penance is one thing. Development of spiritual life is quite another thing. Penance does not necessarily assist in spiritual development, whereas spiritual development certainly increases the dimensions of our penitential practices. We talk constantly about interior development. There are those who might find this difficult, but if we do not have a corresponding interior formation, all other things will be of no value. This is hard to understand. And sometimes we think that the exterior activities that we perform, our rosaries, our little acts of penance, our fastings, our whatever else you may do, that we consider these things to be quite sufficient and to assist us in on our path to salvation. This is not necessarily true, but we solve our problem, our own mental attitudes, because we look upon these things as being good enough to assure our salvation. The wearing of medals and the wearing of the scapulars and all that, all these things are good in themselves, but they do not ensure, I use the word ensure, our salvation. As we tell the monks so often, that a man or a woman, for she's a nun, a man can live in a monastery for 50 years and be an absolute example for even the superior to talk about and point to Father so-and-so as being, he is the example of obedience. He is the example of humility. He is the example of penance and mortification. Look to Father so-and-so. And you know, hard to see and hard to accept, but Father so-and-so does not necessarily gain salvation by all that. Because why? Because interiorly, Father so-and-so, even though he was exteriorly obedient, even though he was exteriorly humble, even though he was exteriorly penitential, interiorly, in his heart, he was not obedient. He was rebellious. He was not penitential. He was not sacrificial. He was not mortified interiorly. And therefore, it is possible for Father so-and-so to end up in hell after 50 years of a life following the rule. That would be such a terrible thing. And we as Christians must be very careful that it is in the interior activity that we will gain merit. We always go to the poor old Pharisee who went up to the temple to pray, and the poor old publican who went up to the temple to pray. Look how much the Pharisee did. Exteriorly, externally, he was the example of all to imitate. He was good, he did this, he did that, he did all the other, he did all the correct things the Pharisee did. And no doubt he was highly admired, and no doubt he was highly respected. But he went home not at all justified, did he? The poor publican, how brief his prayer. But interiorly, the man, the publican, had within his heart that ingredient which makes the difference for all of us. The ingredient of the honest, humble, obedient, sincere, genuine desire to do the will of God. We may not always have that interior devotion ourselves. And we must be careful that we do not turn our religion into a ritualistic thing which has no merit. And too many places today, so-called places of tradition today, are really and truly turning very stoutly toward a ritualistic observation which gains no merit. Gains no merit at all. And we have to be very cautious about this. And it's a set of rules. Our religion is not a set of rules. The military has rules. And the soldiers have to obey the rules, the commands as they are given. We must be formed. I speak much of formation, which today is lacking in too many places because they don't understand formation. It is the turning of the soul, the turning around, the doing away. I use the word violence, but we must be very careful that we don't take that word literally, that you have to go and tear yourself into shape. But it does require a lot of work on my part, on your part, or anybody's part. If you know you've got to be, have to turn right, when you prefer to turn left, it takes a lot of energy to do that. It's one thing to read about holiness of life, the holiness that our saints before us lived and performed and enjoyed. It's one thing to read about it. It's one thing to read about the things that our saints once upon a time did before us. But it's another thing when we try to do the same thing. And our self-justifying logic can certainly answer a lot of our make problems into something that we can live with. It's a logic that we turn around and mess up in order to fit our particular situation. And we expect Almighty God to follow along in that path. Not so. Not so at all. And as we are in Advent, we do need to look into, it is entirely proper, and we should, look into the things, let's look into our priorities. What is the listing of the importance of our priorities? Don't we sometimes find ourselves making things important? That are really not? And we find ourselves becoming terribly upset and disturbed and overwrought. And we find ourselves hurting those around us. because their priorities are perhaps slightly different from ours. We need to look at our priorities. We need to look at the things that cause us to act the way that we act and ask ourselves a question, is this thing that I am demanding, is this thing that I am insisting upon, is this thing worthwhile? Is this thing going to do one thing that will help me save my soul? And if I may use a somewhat modern expression, the bottom line, the bottom line in the lives of each one of us is our salvation. And anything, absolutely anything, that does not contribute directly to the accomplishment of that bottom line is wrong. I think it's in your collection of bulletins. There's a little diagram. And in this diagram, you'll find a center line with the word truth over it. And you will find two lines that are going away from the center line. Anything that is even slightly off course will take you away from that center line which we are all supposed to be going by, which is truth. On the one side, we have on the right, we have those that are rigoristic, are literalists, are Jansenistic today, very much opposed to everything practically, not really Catholic, heretical really. On the other side, we have the liberals. And once you start off on the wrong course, once you get off course, even if it's ever so slightly, the more you travel along that path, the farther away you get from the center point truth. It's inevitable. Once you start going in either direction, be it ever so slightly, and you keep on that course, again, you're getting farther and farther away. We can't afford that. We simply cannot afford that. If our reason for coming here to this Mass is simply and only because we do not like what's going on elsewhere, then we are coming here for all of the wrong reasons. And it will gain us no merit, no merit at all. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of understanding what it is that God is asking of us. It's a matter of us being sincere and conscientious enough to put up and obey the will of God. Let's not be too much on this. We must be, again, there. We must look at what we mean when we talk about the will of God. Some people use the will of God all the time. And it's almost as though the will of God is for them something to blame when things go wrong. It's always the will of God when things go wrong. That's God's will. I accept it. Blah, blah, this, and blah, blah, that. How many times do we consider it the will of God when things go right? And that we don't think about the will of God at such times as that, because I did it. And when I do things, they're always right. But when things don't go right according to the way I want, then we have someone to point to. You did it, God. This is what you wanted to happen. It's not what I wanted to happen. Doesn't it work that way? It's a matter of looking at things with 20/20 vision and not looking at things in a way that is convenient for us. Right now, we're looking for all kinds of things to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. We're looking for the world to come to an end. We're looking for this, looking for that. We have no idea what's going to happen. Very likely, some things can happen, some things might well happen. But as to predict what is going to happen, we don't know. So let us look toward the future with a good conscience, with a holy conscience, with the determination to save our mortal souls, and no matter whatever else happens, does it really matter? The main thing is that we keep our priorities straight and in order, in the order of priorities. Look at the things that we place always before the will of God. What is the will of God? That we save our mortal souls, and that everything we do will contribute to the salvation of our immortal souls. And it will not be for us to turn things around to, can I use the word, and I use it respectfully, not disdainfully, let us not Protestantize our religion, and that we can turn things around self-suiting our needs, what we desire. And when we judge others, do we use the same measuring stick in judging others as we use in judging ourselves? Or is the measuring stick slightly different? So these are all things that we bring to your attention. Study your bulletins. Don't just simply glance over them and put them aside. They are there for you to take home and to meditate. And a lot of time goes into these bulletins. And things are presented to you, presented to us in these bulletins, that hopefully will be of assistance to us as we go through the difficulties of a day-by-day problem. There are a few bulletins, as you look about, that present as much. Maybe they get it elsewhere, that's fine. But as far as bulletins go, we try to include as much as we can in these bulletins for everybody's convenience and everybody's help and edification. Be assured that on Christmas Day, you and the ones you love most will be remembered in our masses at the monastery. And in return, I ask you to remember us and to keep us in your prayers, that God will always keep us at least looking for what's true, on the search for what is true and a desire to do what is true. We're not here to impress anybody. Our one purpose is to help people save their immortal souls, whether in the monastery or whether here. I wish you the best, and if you will kneel, I will give you our...